Hey, it's Hannah Baba, host of Cross Current. Just a couple of times a year, we ask for your support, and now's the time to do that. Make sure to contribute today to our fall membership campaign. Keep us strong. If you want to contribute, go to klw.org and click donate. And thank you.
K-A-L-W.
This is TBH. I'm Amalia Madrid Lilly, an incoming senior at Oakland Technical High School, and your host for today's episode. This podcast is made by, about, and for teenagers, and for anybody else who wants to hear what's on our minds.
And I'm Anthara Gangwal, your other host for this season of TBH. So, Amalia, what are we talking about today?
Today we're talking about teen dating violence with TBH producer Jessica Kim. Jessica's going to be a senior at American High School this year, and she's here with us. Hey, Jessica.
Hi, Amalia.
So, can you tell us about how you decided you wanted to talk about this issue?
Well, I didn't realize how many people experience teen dating violence until I joined this youth group, Team Stronger Than You Think. And that's where I saw how difficult it is for organizations to get funding.
What kind of funding?
Well, groups that support survivors of domestic violence with housing, legal assistance, counseling, and crisis lines, all of these rely on a federal fund called VOCA, or the Victims of Crime Act.
So how does VOCA work?
Yeah, so unlike many federal funds, VOCA gets their funds from the fines and penalties from convictions in federal cases, rather than taxes. And in 2023, California received $153 million in VOCA funding, but the California Office of Emergency Services warned agencies to brace for a 44.7% cut this year. That means funding for VOCA is an annual issue. It takes advocates to keep it going every year.
Right, and that's kind of where your story kicks off. You spoke up about that issue not that long ago. Let's hear more about that.
I was standing on the steps of the California State Capitol. It was February, National Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. My knees were shaking, but I knew I wanted to demand that legislators continue prevention funding.
Raising awareness is only half the battle. If there is one lesson I hope to spread about teen dating violence today, is that it's preventable. We have grown too comfortable with violence. We see it in our communities and in our relationships, and it has become too normalized, too ingrained in our culture as something inevitable.
In a way, that speech was 2 years in the making. It all started my freshman year. My counselor told me I had to complete 40 hours of community service to graduate. I knew I had to get started right away to meet that goal. I got on my computer and looked up organizations near me. I came across SAVE, or Safe Alternatives to Violent Environments. I took the bus to their office, and that's where I learned about their youth council, Team Stronger Than You Think, STYT for short. I decided to apply. The first person I met at STYT was Kavya Jolly.
My name is Kavya Jolly. My pronouns are he, they. And what made me want to get involved was first seeing the amount of violence, especially domestic violence, that was very normalized in my community. I'm South Asian, and speaking out about it is considered very taboo, which, you know, frustrated me a lot, especially since I saw people in my family who were survivors and dismissed their own experiences and also continued the cycle of abuse. So that made me want to speak out and spread awareness about it to hopefully stop that from happening to other people.
Kavya is an 18-year-old recent graduate from Washington High School in Fremont and was part of Team STYT for 3 years. Kavya plans to major in political science in the fall and hopes to continue advocating for the issues he cares about, including teen dating violence. We were late because adults don't always take teen issues seriously.
You know, a lot of adults, first of all, just don't acknowledge that their teens are in relationships at all. They view it as just like puppy love or, you know, not that serious, and therefore isn't deserving of, you know, awareness. And they just don't believe that teens can exhibit violent or unhealthy behaviors when in reality they can.
He's right. Nearly 20% of teens experience sexual or physical dating violence, and 65% report being psychologically abused.
So in school, we honestly didn't learn anything about teen dating violence. It was really just stuff in health about, you know, reproduction and stuff like that.
I decided to talk to Eric Burmeister. He's the new superintendent of Fremont Unified School District, the school district I attend. When I first reached out, he didn't know what the district does to address teen dating violence and said he had to do some research.
I think maybe what surprised me overall is Fremont's commitment to health education and the very direct and intentional instruction that our curriculum has embedded around understanding boundaries, around being safe online, around understanding what is sexual assault, what is abuse, how abuse is defined, what sex trafficking is, and so forth. These are all, I think, relatively modern concepts in terms of curriculum.
Schools are just beginning to discuss teen dating violence with students. As of 2022, 38 states have at least one law about preventing teen dating violence. But less than half of these states define teen dating violence or discuss warning signs in their curriculum, and only two of them mandate an investigation when teen dating violence is reported.
It's important to note that this curriculum was new to Fremont Unified this past year. And so it really, your questions elevate a really wonderful opportunity for us. And that opportunity is to go back to our health instructors after this first year of the curriculum and say, how did it go? What did we learn?
But what about the students who live in one of the 13 states that don't address teen dating violence? Who can they talk to?
Unfortunately, many students do not grow up in environments where these things are openly talked about, or they don't even necessarily realize it's an issue that they need to talk about until they're in a situation where there is a power differential.
This was true for Angela Lee, director of Love is Respect.
When I was a teenager going through it, I had no idea what teen dating violence was. I actually was a victim of gaslighting. So I thought I was crazy.
I work with her closely as part of the Love is Respect National Youth Council. Without education on dating abuse, Angela didn't know how to leave. She didn't realize she was in an abusive relationship. She thought it was love.
It affected my personal safety and well-being, but it also made me stay in an unhealthy relationship that turned out to be abusive, because I didn't know how to navigate my emotional safety, how to speak up for myself. And at the time, I felt like that person loved me so much. And because I lost part of my family, I just felt connected to the pain. You know, it almost turned into what we might call an addiction.
Angela is part of the LGBTQ+ community, a group that experiences dating abuse at higher rates, a group that might not be able to talk about who they're dating in the first place. Her identity and experience with violence in the house left her vulnerable.
Because me, myself, at 16, age 16 and 19, I just thought something was wrong with me. I did not know how to identify a healthy relationship. I wasn't willing to trust my gut and seek out resources. I didn't have older adults in my life that could encourage and empower me because I grew up in an abusive household.
Today, Angela turns her pain into purpose. At Love is Respect, she works to prevent teens from going through what she did. She spreads resources about the signs and impacts of dating abuse, including forms of abuse that normally aren't talked about, like financial abuse and digital abuse. But Angela says we can't just be youth-focused.
We need to be youth-driven. A lot of organizations, we're doing great work, but what's the missing link? And I think it's involving the communities that we serve in the work. And I'm grateful that Love is Respect does that.
It was because of these efforts to involve young people that I learned and applied to be part of the Love is Respect Youth Council in my sophomore year. Every month, 30 of us meet to discuss the next social media campaign theme or how to improve health curriculums. In June, we met after a short break.
Give me that smile. I love that smile.
The energy is high as Angela welcomes the new members.
Why don't you go first? Tell them a little about yourself, where you live, why you want to be a part of the youth council, your age, your pronouns, whatever. Just take a few minutes to let them get to know you, girl.
In the meeting, we receive refresher training to spot healthy relationships.
Consent, respect, trust, honesty, Communication, boundaries. So what does that look like? Does that mean that a relationship is not going to have challenges or disagreements? Absolutely not. But how can we communicate in a healthy way to make sure, like, healthy conflict? And you can go to loveisrespect.org for more information.
We also learned about unhealthy relationships and how to recognize warning signs. Things like isolation from friends and family, extreme jealousy, invasions of privacy, intimidation, the list goes on.
I'm not saying the first time you recognize a warning sign, that means that you should get out of a relationship. It's all about recognizing the patterns of behavior.
Relationships exist on a spectrum from healthy to abusive. Drawing the line of when an unhealthy relationship becomes abusive can be hard. Angela gives some specific examples of warning signs to look out for.
Excessively calling you or texting you. You've spoken to your partner and you've said, hey, I'm busy hanging out with friends or hanging out with family, but they're constantly calling you and expecting you to pick up or constantly texting you. Asking for your location. Telling you what to wear or not wear, you know what I mean?
As I listened to this refresher training, I remember my first day at SAVE when I knew nothing about healthy relationships. Now, I regularly take the bus to the office to work on projects that raise dating violence awareness. As I walk into the building, I run into Sky Pareto. They are the community education coordinator and my mentor.
I'm going to get to go on vacation tomorrow. That's fun.
As we ride the elevator, we talk about the documentary project I'm working on with a fellow member of STYT. I wanted to create this documentary after watching one in my civics class about the lives of low-income Americans. I pitched the idea to Sky, and now we are in the process of scheduling interviews. This 30-minute documentary will explore the stories of survivors of domestic violence. During this visit, I use it as an opportunity to go to the warehouse for another project I'm involved in. We dig through endless boxes to look for wellness items I can put in bags. Once assembled, these bags will go to survivors entering and leaving the Safe House Shelter and Motel Housing Program. We return to the office where I email businesses. I see if they're willing to donate items from toothpaste to clothes. These will be put in the wellness bags. While emails sound boring, working on these projects have been the highlight of my high school experience. I think about the survivors I've talked to. Many of them experienced homelessness or had to drop out of school. It's made me think about what is truly important in my life, and it is not getting perfect grades or being liked by everyone. Instead, I prioritize my relationships with family and friends, and I look for a purpose and happiness in the activities I do. When I asked Sky why they think young people should advocate for issues they care about, they said,
"Well, one, I think it's a really good way for youth to gain confidence in themselves and for them to realize that they can do all these big picture things."
2 years ago, I would have said young people should advocate because it makes positive change. This is still true, but Sky's answer made me reflect on my own journey. Without my counselor's nudge, I would have never learned about teen dating violence, and I definitely wouldn't have thought I could lead projects to address it. It seems before you can make a difference, you have to know that you can. Thankfully, Gen Z is one of the most politically aware generations, and Superintendent Burmeister has seen this shift.
I wish I could have grown up in the age when the youth today are growing up. More than any other time of, I think, human history, our youth are teaching the adults, right? When we talk about changing systems, those systems are changing more rapidly and in a spirit of more equity and more justice because youth are advocating, because youth are aware, because they are demanding that systems change to protect them and to meet them where they're at.
But despite more youth speaking up, getting the attention of policymakers remains a challenge.
We do live in a very politicized environment where, you know, some folks feel like we shouldn't talk about this at all, and some folks feel like we're not talking about it enough.
So what can young people do? Kavya says the answer is to start small.
Taking on big issues on a big stage can seem very intimidating, and it can make you feel powerless. But if you are able to, you know, start small, start local in your area, it, one, can just be more, you know, approachable, but also you're able to personally connect with people around you and able to see how much change you're able to make. That can be very fulfilling and really give you a lot of hope to continue advocacy long term.
It isn't always easy because advocacy isn't a linear process. When I hear stories of teens experiencing dating abuse or read how thousands of shelter beds can close overnight without funding, I wonder if I am making a difference at all. But if there is one thing I have learned in these 2 years, it is that there's no time to wait. I think back to when I was standing before a crowd of people at the Capitol. I talked about this idea of how we wait for change.
It's time to stop waiting for a miracle. Research has shown time and time again, the best intervention is prevention. With prevention funding, we can better answer the questions, how can parents talk to teens about boundaries and healthy relationships? How can we support the 80% of school counselors who currently feel unprepared to address disclosures of dating abuse? How can we support the LGBTQ youth who are more likely to experience violence? And how can we prevent violence from happening in the first place? I urge legislators to continue prevention funding in 2024.
I was a person who would always wait for the perfect time. The first step is hard, but I now know that you just have to start. Because to me, teen dating violence is an issue worth fighting for. I don't plan on stopping anytime soon, and neither do Kavya, Sky, and Angela.
But to our young people, just know, you're our future, and we believe in you, and we're here to support you.
Thanks, Jessica. It's so critical to give these kinds of stories a platform to call listeners to action. I hope our listeners feel encouraged to be advocates for preventing dating violence. So, Anthora, what are we hearing about next week?
Next week, we'll hear from Amaya Dorman McKenzie. She's talking to us about how schools can support queer youth and their families.
I'm really curious to hear what she learned from her reporting. I'm not aware of any school district policies that protect queer kids. I want to know how they are or aren't providing safe environments. That's next time. Stay tuned. You've been listening to TBH, a podcast from KALW Public Radio. The feature you heard in this episode was produced by Jessica Kim.
It was edited by True Gwen, who taught in the program along with Sarah Lai Sterland. Ava Richards is our production assistant. Our artwork was created by Awan Mance.
James Rollins and Tarek Fuda are our engineers. Shireen Adel is our supervising editor. Ben Trefney is our executive producer. This project was made possible with support from the California Arts Council, California Humanities, Silicon Valley Community Foundation, and Association for Continuing Education. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Amalia Madrid-Lilly, along with Anthora Gungwal.